Today is the 24th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly week here around the global campfire. So let's gather around and face it. Look out there. Look at that horizon. Look at that vista. That is life in front of us. That is the future. That is this week before us. We get to choose how that's going to go in some pretty profoundly significant ways. We will tell the story with our thoughts and our words, our choices, our actions, and reactions. So let's choose wisely in advance to reflect back on last week and take steps forward this week, because we might as well take steps forward in our lives as we take steps forward through the scriptures. We might as well be moving forward, paying attention, and allowing things to actually start to shift where real change can happen. Why not? We're on the ship together. We get to the end of the year and disembark this voyage, better people for it. That's the goal. Welcome to a brand new week. Grateful to be here. We will read from the New English Translation this week. Continuing our journey through the rise of King David. 2 Samuel chapters 4, 5, and 6 today. When Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he was very disheartened, and all Israel was afraid. Now Saul's son had two men who were in charge of raiding units. One was named Baanah and the other Rechab. They were sons of Ramon, the Beerothite, who was a Benjaminite. Beeroth is regarded as belonging to Benjamin, for Beerothites fled to Gittaim and have remained there as resident foreigners until the present time. Now Saul's son Jonathan had a son who was crippled in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan arrived from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but in her haste to get away, he fell and was injured. Mephibosheth was his name. Now the sons of Ramon the Beerothite, Rechab and Baanah, went at the hottest part of the day to the home of Ishbosheth as he was enjoying his midday rest. They entered the house under the pretense of getting wheat and mortally wounded him in the stomach. Then Rechab and his brother Baanah escaped. They entered the house while Ishbosheth was resting on his bed in his bedroom. They mortally wounded him and then cut off his head. Taking his head, they traveled on the way of the Rift Valley all that night. They brought the head of Ishbosheth to David in Hebron, saying to the king, "Look, the head of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, your enemy who sought your life. The Lord has granted vengeance to my lord, the king, this day against Saul and his descendants." David replied to Rechab and his brother Baanah, the sons of Ramon the Beerothite, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered my life from all adversity, when someone told me that Saul was dead, even though he thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag. That was the good news I gave to him. Surely when wicked men have killed an innocent man as he slept in his own house, should I not now require his blood from your hands and remove you from the earth?" So David issued orders to the soldiers, and they put them to death. And they cut off their hands and feet and hung them near the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner in Hebron. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron, saying, Look, we are your very flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the real leader in Israel. The Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel. You will rule over Israel. When all the leaders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, King David made an agreement with them in Hebron before the Lord. They designated David as king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned for 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men advanced to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, who lived in the land. The Jebusites said to David, "You cannot invade this place. Even the blind and the lame will turn you back," saying, "David cannot invade this place." But David captured the fortress of Zion, that is, the city of David. David said on that day, "Whoever attacks the Jebusites must approach the lame and the blind, who are David's enemies, by going through the water tunnel. For this reason it is said, the blind and the lame cannot enter the palace." So David lived in the fortress and called it the City of David. David built all around it, from the terrace inwards. David's power grew steadily, for the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, carpenters, and stonemasons. They built a palace for David. David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had elevated his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. David married more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he arrived from Hebron. Even more sons and daughters were born to David. These are the names of the children born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been designated king over Israel, they all went up to search for David. When David heard about it, he went down to the fortress. Now the Philistines had arrived and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord, "Should I march up against the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord said to David, "March up, for I will indeed hand the Philistines over to you." So David marched against Baal Perazim and defeated them there. Then he said, "The Lord has burst out against my enemies like water bursts out." So he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men picked them up. The Philistines again came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord what he should do. This time the Lord said to him, "Don't march straight up. Instead, circle around behind them and come against them opposite the trees. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, act decisively, for at that moment the Lord is going before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." David did just as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines from Gibeon all the way to Gezer. David again assembled all the best men in Israel, 30,000 in number. David and all the men who were with him traveled to Baalah in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who sits enthroned between the cherubim that are on it. They loaded the Ark of God on a new cart and carried it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart. They brought it with the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab on the hill. Ahio was walking in front of the Ark while David and all Israel were energetically celebrating before the Lord, singing and playing various stringed instruments, tambourines, rattles, and cymbals. When they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and grabbed hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord was so furious with Uzzah, he killed him on the spot for his negligence. He died right there beside the Ark of God. David was angry because the Lord attacked Uzzah, so he called that place Perez Uzzah, which remains its name to this very day. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How will the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" So David was no longer willing to bring the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. David left it in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. The Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his family. King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the family of Obed-Edom and everything he owns because of the Ark of God." So David went and joyfully brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David. Those who carried the Ark of the Lord took 6 steps, and then David sacrificed an ox and a fatling calf. Now David, wearing a linen ephod, was dancing with all his strength before the Lord. David and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord, shouting and blowing trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Saul's daughter, Michal, looked out the window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him. They brought the Ark of the Lord and put it in its place in the middle of the tent that David had pitched for it. Then David offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. When David finished offering the burnt sacrifices and peace offerings, he pronounced a blessing over the people in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. He then handed out to each member of the entire assembly of Israel, both men and women, a portion of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake. Then all the people went home. When David went home to pronounce a blessing on his own house, Michal, Saul's daughter, came out to meet him. She said, "Oh, the king of Israel has distinguished himself this day. He has exposed himself today before his servants' slave girls the way a vulgar fool might do." David replied to Michal, "It was before the Lord. I was celebrating before the Lord, who chose me over your father and his entire family and appointed me as leader over the Lord's people, Israel. I am willing to shame and humiliate myself even more than this. But with the slave girls whom you mentioned, let me be distinguished." Now Michal, Saul's daughter, had no children to the day of her death. John 13:31-14. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him right away. Children, I am still with you for a little while. You will look for me, and just as I said to the Jewish religious leaders, where I am going, you cannot come. Now I tell you the same. I give you a new commandment, to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Everyone will know by this that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? I tell you the solemn truth. The rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Do not let your hearts be distressed. You believe in God. Believe also in me. There are many dwelling places in my Father's house. Otherwise, I would have told you, because I am going away to make ready a place for you. And if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may be too. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to the Lord, "We don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus replied, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you will know my Father too. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be content." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you for so long and you have not known me, Philip? The person who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father residing in me performs his miraculous deeds. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not believe me, believe because of the miraculous deeds themselves. I tell you the solemn truth. The person who believes in me will perform the miraculous deeds that I am doing, and will perform greater deeds than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Psalm 119, 17 through 32. Gimel. Be kind to your servant, then I will live and keep your instructions. Open my eyes so I can truly see the marvelous things in your law. I am a resident foreigner in this land. Do not hide your commands from me. I desperately long to know your regulations at all times. You reprimand arrogant people. Those who stray from your commands are doomed. Spare me shame and humiliation, for I observe your rules. Though rulers plot and slander me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Yes, I find delight in your rules. They give me guidance. Dalet. I collapse in the dirt. Revive me with your word. I told you about my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Help me to understand what your precepts mean. Then I can meditate on your marvelous teachings. I collapse from grief. Sustain me by your word. Remove me from the path of deceit. Graciously give me your law. I choose the path of faithfulness. I am committed to your regulations. I hold fast to your rules. O Lord, do not let me be ashamed. I run along the path of your commands, for you enable me to do so. Proverbs 15, 31 and 32. The person who hears the reproof that leads to life is at home among the wise. The one who refuses correction despises himself, but whoever listens to reproof acquires understanding. Father, we thank you for your word and this brand new week. We are grateful to step into it. Thank you for bringing us here. We are grateful. We would be nowhere without you. You have sustained us. You have been merciful. We have gotten here. Holy Spirit, come and lead us forward that we might walk on a narrow path, one that leads to life, life that we have spent so much of our energy and time chasing in places that cannot give life, but have only taken it from us. We look to you. Holy Spirit, come and lead us into this week and through it. May we always consult the voice of wisdom and turn to you as we move through the days and hours and minutes before us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is Resting in God's Shadow. I wanted to lift up Kay from Ohio. I'm so incredibly sorry for your loss. I'm so incredibly sorry for the void, right? The grieving that you're going through. Heavenly Father, I lift up Ms. Kay and her family to you, Heavenly Father. We know that you never leave us nor forsake us, so we know that you are with them right now. You are holding them in your beautiful, capable hands close to your heart. Kay, I pray that you can feel the closeness of the Lord as he grieves with you, as he holds you right now. I pray that you can feel his peace and his comfort that truly does go beyond all understanding, and that he is able to turn your mourning into joy, because you obviously know where your mom is, and she is rejoicing right now, right? She is part of the angels and the other saints singing holy, 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 right? So I just pray that you all, you and your family, are able to receive his love, receive his peace, rejoice in her life and celebrate her, and celebrate that she is with our Father. I know that that doesn't remove the pain and the heartache that you're all experiencing and feeling. But I do pray his comfort over you, and that you can tangibly feel that. We thank you, Father, that you're such a loving Father, that you grieve with us, you cry with us, that Jesus, you walked this earth, you felt grief and you felt all of the things. So we know that we're not alone in it. I thank you so much for your provision, and I pray continued blessings over Kay and her family. It is in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.
Hello, my sweet siblings. It's Minita from Illinois. I just have a prayer request for those that are praying, those that call out to the Lord. I am very concerned about my daughter-in-law's father. His name is Josue Joshua. He is 67, I believe. He is having a brain procedure. He's in the ER. He'll be in the hospital for about a week or so. He lost his balance. He can hardly walk. He's losing his sense of walking. And I know it has to do with the brain issue that he's going through. He's bleeding the brain. They have to go in there and withdraw the blood. It's very concerning. We're very concerned about this situation. Please Let's call out to our Heavenly Father that He touch him and heal him completely. Thank you. I love you guys. A big hug. God bless you.
This is God's little gardener in Texas calling in to pray for Francis, who's going by Princess, as you are missing your husband on your 23rd anniversary. And oh Lord, Father, you understand her loneliness more than anybody else. You tell us in Isaiah 54:5, for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. And we know that your heart is particularly compassionate toward widows. Father, would you draw near to her broken heart and her crushed spirit, as you tell us in Psalm 34:18, you will do. Lord, would you help her to find her purpose and her friends to fill her time here on earth? Lord, not to replace her husband, but to fill the empty spaces in her heart. And Lord, would you help her find the good work you still have ready for her to do, that she's here for a purpose? You tell us that in Ephesians 2:10, that you've prepared works for us. Lord, would you guide her to the ministry you have for her now? And Lord Jesus, would you just watch over her? We know that you tell us you do that in Psalm 146:9, that you watch over the widows. And Father, would you restore her joy, Lord, from now till the time she's home and reunited with you and her husband. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hi, y'all. There was a pastor, a retired pastor, that asked for prayer for cancer. And brother, it seems like you've been walking on this journey for quite a while. So I want to lift you up. God, you are the maker of heaven and earth. Nothing escapes you. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing, Lord, is wasted in your eyes and in your sphere of influence. I could only imagine how you have used this pastor on his journey, the congregation and the friends, and now the Dab Nation that he's speaking to. Oh God, have mercy on his cancer situation. We bind up cancer in the name of Jesus, and we speak life over him. We speak life abundantly. Maybe he doesn't feel good today, Lord, but I still speak life, your dunamis power that you have infused him with because of Jesus, because of the cross of Jesus. Father, have mercy on him. Heal him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We honor you. Give him new insight and new growth because of what he's walking through. In Jesus' name, I pray. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Hi. This is a... I need prayer over to heal myself, my mind, my heart. I have a lot to pray over, but mainly I just want to pray over my relationship, my marriage that I'm wanting to work with the mother of my child and heal my mind and our past, because we keep repeating cycles and I don't want to repeat them anymore. I keep latching onto the past and behaviors and I'm nitpicking and I'm judging and I don't know how to let this all go, and I want to let this all go because I'm suffering and she's suffering. I don't want our kids to suffer. I just want this healed. I want you to save me, God. I just don't know what to do. I don't want to let this go. And I know not everyone is meant to be with each other, but I'm really praying that you would help us heal this. Let go of everything. Help me let go of everything. Help her let go of everything. And break this cycle. God, please break this cycle in your name, Jesus. Can't keep doing this to her. I'm just so tired. I don't know what to do. I want to heal. I want to let this all go. God, I don't know how. No one's showing me how. No role models. No one's telling me what I want to hear. No one's telling me what I need to hear. No one's telling me. Scripturally, I just need someone to answer this. God, I need you to heal this. I want you. So my name is Richie, and I'm just asking you, just guys really pray over this and heal this relationship and help me see you, Father, and put you at the center of all of this and remove myself off the throne. Just see me pray, amen.
Good morning. My name is Anthony, and I'm calling in for prayer this morning. This is my first time ever calling in. I'm going through stage 4 cancer. I'm having chemo right now, and it's dual endocrine prostate cancer. So I'm dealing with that, and on top of dealing with that, I'll be burying my daughter Saturday. So I'm just looking for prayer and strength during this time. Thank you.